Welcome to the Hump Day edition of the Donna and Steve Experience. On My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. Dawn just had a story in her Dirt Alert about a couple who's celebrating 75 years together. His name is Ulysses.
Oh, wonderful.
So that got me thinking, huh.
You don't hear that name a lot.
You don't. So I wanted to see what the origin of the name is.
Oh, and what do we have?
It means to hate.
Okay.
No.
Wrathful.
Oh,
hater.
Boy.
What? Who would name their kid that then?
You would think it would be like based on, you know, Ulysses from, you know,
like
Greek
myths. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, meanwhile, what does the name Mary Sue mean? My Aunt Mary Sue. Sue Bird just texted in. She's from West Virginia and said, see, beautiful things do happen in West Virginia. 75 years of marriage. She's constantly trying to defend the state because I'm from Pennsylvania. Remember, Pennsylvania is neighbor states with West Virginia.
You know, I never knew that because when I think of Pennsylvania, I think East Coast. I think that side of Pennsylvania.
Sure. Yeah, Pennsylvania is a wide state. And so we are right, but there is a part of Pennsylvania that is right below New York City.
Right.
There is a part of Pennsylvania that is right beside Ohio.
Right.
And it's sort of weird.
The tri-state area, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York.
There's a phrase they say a lot back home, huh?
Connecticut.
Tri-state area.
You know what? I will be flying into Pittsburgh.
What? Are you talking about?
And then going through Ohio and then going to West Virginia. Exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, there's November a ghost 8th somewhere.
And the 9th.
Yeah. There's a ghost somewhere.
All right,
somewhere.
Where'd somebody die? Where'd you find bones that you want to check for the spirit? What
I'm
are you going
on
for?
A great trip with a bunch of paranormal investigators to Moundsville Penitentiary in West Virginia. It's a haunted prison.
Wow.
You familiar,
some people
Steve?
Say the whole state is a penitentiary. That's a West Virginia joke.
That's good. You know, my nephew went to school in your neck of the woods, too.
Oh, how lovely.
It's, oh gosh, what's it called? I'll get back to you, but it's near Pittsburgh.
All right, then I'll tell the old story quick before I tell you about my eventful.
Waynesboro?
Yeah, sure.
That's where he went.
Okay. When you're in the Pittsburgh International Airport, the courtesy phones are now the color white. But for 20 years, they were royal blue. And the reason for that is my dad, Kev Dog, worked on setting up the telecommunication system in the Pittsburgh International Airport. It was this big deal. And so then they said, all right, it's courtesy phone day. He called my mother, Jane, and he said, Jane, what color would you like the courtesy phones to be? And she said, how about like royal blue? That's her favorite color. And sure enough, they became royal blue. And
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There should be a plaque with the history of the phones at the airport.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That is such a cool story.
Cute.
I came up in royalty.
That's really a sweet story.
Last night was terrible.
What happened?
So bad. Very bad.
Did you make your parents watch that horrible Squid Game?
No, I watched another home show with them, Boise Boys. They wanted to show me another home remodeling show. Pretty entertaining show, by the way. Nice couple of dudes there, very different from one another. One guy you just wouldn't think is going to be, one guy doesn't look like he's from Central Casting, but it's this lovely personality. He's great. Anyway, Boise Boys. So Dev, our little guy, has RSV, which is this not fun sickness, this respiratory thing that the kids get. It always goes around, but this year it's particularly bad, it seems to be impacting people and stuff like that. So anyway, he got tested for it 8 days ago, maybe 7 days ago. So he's like on day eight, but it's lasting longer. And any parents or grandparents who watch little ones who have encountered this, you know, it's just sort of annoying because it just keeps going and you have to catch it. You have to watch it because, like any sickness, can get serious where you have to take them to the
hospital.
Especially
if they have a high fever and all that. Yeah.
So he's been able to avoid a high fever to this point, or if it really a fever of any sort. But last night, he's been miserable the last two nights. The last two nights of sleep for my bride and I have not been great because we've had to at some point bring Dev into the bed with us.
Oh,
and then it's
baby.
Constant. Like, guys, every like 2 minutes, it's like there's a sound and then he calms down and then you reach over your super tired hand. So at one point I say, you know what? Maybe we should try to get him some Tylenol. He does not like taking Tylenol even a little bit. He has problems with reflux and stuff like that. He'll take these other things that he has to take, these little medications, very easily. Tylenol. Grape flavored, strawberry flavored, for whatever reason, hates it. So it's really, really tough. You have to slowly give it to him or he starts spitting it out. Sure enough, we're giving it to him. Okay, it's okay. I'm holding him. Lou's administering it. Little bit at a time, little bit. And then we just hear... And sure enough,
oh, no, Steve.
A full spit up situation. Oh, no. I turn on my clock. It is all of 2:15 in the morning. Mm. Now we are cleaning up spit up from the bed. We are changing his jammies. We have to just get him out of the sleep sack. He's
You're
now in new jammies.
Tired.
We do the whole thing. Then we bring him back in, and he is really upset because he just, you know, spit up at 2:15. And the first 4 hours of sleep have been terrible. I cannot stress enough. Just so terrible. So then... It's 2:30, and we put on a movie. This is why we watched a movie last night at 2:30 in the morning. B movie, aforementioned.
Oh, fun.
It was an old standby. We turned on Netflix, and so my wife starts in, do you want to watch B movie? And he sort of like nods his head slowly.
Aww.
So we put that on, and as tired as we were, and as just you just want him to be feeling better. He's just so uncomfortable these last 4, 5, 6 days.
Oh, my gosh.
I said to my wife, she said, oh, I'm sorry, knowing like I'm getting up for work. She said, you know, I could take him downstairs, but I don't want to wake your parents up with the TV on. I said, no, actually, it feels kind of cozy having B-movie on in the middle of the night. You hear all of the wonderful animation soundtrack. You wanna try to find the silver lining when you're up in the middle of the night watching, starting a movie at 2:30. He watched the whole thing. His eyes were awake the whole time, calmly. It calmed him down.
Oh,
that and the medicine, the perfect cocktail. And we watched the whole thing. And then she went to put on something else. And I said, why don't we just try turning the TV off now? You know, it's
How
like 3:45.
Was the movie? Oh,
I don't know. It's
Lord.
Like a 90-minute movie.
Oh, no.
So why don't
90
we just turn
minutes?
It off?
A B movie?
Yeah.
That's too long.
No, it's great. You got to watch it.
50 minutes for kid movies.
50?
That's it. Max out at 50.
I want regulations from Donna Valentine.
But then the morning gets off to this bad start because that's happening all night. Then I get this new phone, have not transferred my alarms, forget to have the everyday 6 a.m. alarm, so I have to manually set it.
Uh-huh.
Didn't do it last night. I look over in the morning, and it is 7:29. And I was like, gosh, are you kidding me? So then I quickly get pants on, sweatshirt,
Weird.
Brush my
you
teeth,
look so
run
fresh.
Downstairs. And then grab coffee. And my parents said, we almost came up. We were getting a little bit worried, but we didn't, you know, want to be overreaching as parents staying at your house. Like, Steve, wake up, time for work.
Right.
So then it was just a crazy start. You're fine.
Okay, good.
Oh, my God.
Just a little bit of my story. I'm trying to be vulnerable.
Are you going to tell that on Twin Cities Live? Do I have to relive it again at 3 o'clock?
Oh, are you going to be on today?
I'm going to be on today. I don't know.
No.
I don't know what I'm going to say today.
Oh.
Just going to let it come to
You're
me.
On every day, right?
No, I was asking Donna. I thought you meant in person.
No,
you were going
no.
to have to.
No, I just meant if I have the TV on it.
Oh,
do I have to listen to this crap again?
Yeah, Donna once did come on after I told a story here. She guest hosted that day, and then I put the TCL story up on Instagram, and everyone was like, why is your co-host look so uninterested?
I know.
In
I'm
this
like,
story?
I heard the story already.
She heard it. She's tired of it. All right, we got to go.
We got to go.
It's a Wednesday. Millennial X Games at 11:30. College of Pop Culture Knowledge at 10:30.
Yes.
Also, the latest on Squid Game coming up at 9:30. But first, can you figure this out? There's no expiration date on this food. Things that make you go, huh, coming up next. This food will never go bad, ever. And you probably have it at home. Think you know what it is? We'll tell you about it when we come back.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Appreciate you guys listening to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. And fun facts, too.
There's no expiration date on this.
Okay,
it's the only quote-unquote food. Food is a bit of a misnomer. Only quote-unquote food that can actually last forever.
Okay,
you have it.
I'm going to please allow me to have three guesses.
Hang on, I check with the judges. Should we give a three? Affirmative.
Yes, okay. Sour cream. It's That's already sour.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the yogurt already
yogurt
turned.
Yogurt was the next guess.
No, over to
cottage cheese.
You went all dairy. You went dairy for things that don't expire.
Okay, I was just playing around.
Donathan, I will turn now to you. You get an opportunity. The only thing that you very likely have in a, I'll tell you this, you probably, it's not in your refrigerator, right?
Okay.
Doesn't need to be refrigerated,
right.
Shelf stable. You have it especially as a baker.
Oh, flour?
Not flour.
How about popcorn?
Baking soda.
Oh, popcorn.
That's a good guess.
Kernels.
Yeah, the kernels must last forever, right?
Right. Sugar?
We're going to give you half a point on that one out of kindness. there is no expiration date on honey.
Oh, yeah.
I just threw some out.
It's the only food that can last forever. So
yeah,
now
but it
you
gets
know.
All that crunchy. It gets.
We're talking about survival situation here.
Yeah. We're not.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put it in my bug out bag.
Take it with you on that trip out to Ohio to the penitentiary where you're looking for ghosts. Everybody else has a flask. You're just sucking on some old bear honey.
Okay, survival. But how do you get how do you get it to be liquidy again when it gets
put it
hard?
In the microwave?
Okay. You can always do that. Yeah, I just heated up some honey the other day so that I could easily slather it on ribs. Oh my God.
Dawn, I heard you talking about food this morning, and I was like, wow, she's being a real trooper.
Speaking of which, we should tell
Dawn. You talked about gravy.
Yeah.
You know, gravy.
I didn't say savory gravy, though. That would have been over the line. The description of the food, it's
got
the
it. Yeah, I noticed you were kind of being careful. You weren't saying it was like this creamy gravy. You were like, brown gravy.
We were talking about descriptive terms yesterday because, Dawn, my mother... she heard me talk about on this show at some point, mayonnaise, adding mayonnaise to really make a decadent chocolate cake. So Duke's mayonnaise doesn't have any sugar in it. She got her own mayonnaise and she put in the cup or she followed some mayonnaise recipe for chocolate cake and it really makes it decadent and moist. Nobody likes moist.
Yep.
So then, hang on.
Occasionally.
We started looking up synonyms. Yeah. So maybe you would like it if instead of it being a moist chocolate cake, what if we said, oh, that is very clammy. You could also say another synonym that the thesaurus gave us was, oh, this cake is so moisture laden.
Oh, can I say it like a German, though? Moisture laden.
Yes,
Lederhosen. Lederhosen.
Yes.
Sure. That's great.
Okay.
Why are you looking at me all weird when I was saying mayonnaise?
You're saying it weird.
I'm saying mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. You're like,
you're saying mayonnaise.
No, it's, I say mayonnaise.
I say mayonnaise.
Don't.
I am. You don't do what you do.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, mayonnaise is definitely going to be a New Jersey thing. I say mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Can you pull it up, Dawn? Could we get a Google pronunciation
let's
for this?
Do it.
But
yep.
What about the O-N that comes before the A's?
Oh, so now suddenly we're going to start respecting all the letters in words pneumonia? Look, I don't know. I didn't make the rules.
Column.
Yeah. Ah, damn. Does it count as a swear word if you pronounce the N at the end?
Probably not. Mayonnaise.
Uh-oh, let's hear her again.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, she's saying mayonnaise. Oh, mayonnaise, not
no,
mayonnaise.
Actually, she is saying it the way Donna. I'll slow it down.
Oh.
Play.
Mayonnaise.
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 I say mayonnaise. I say like
it's
mayonnaise.
Okay, you do you, man.
What's the British one?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Could you give me that with some mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
I remember when my brother and I were at we were in London for the premiere of the movie Avatar. Neither of us had ever been to London, and we just thought this is incredible. So we're there.
And you went to see a
movie. Did you go to London to see the movie?
What it was?
Well, we looked up a showtime at the Shakopee Cinema. They were filled, so we were like, "What about London?" No, we were. I went there to cover the premiere of the movie.
Got it.
For
okay.
Real.
Buried the headline.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, so we were there, and we go to London, and mayonnaise reminds me of we looked at a menu, sat down for lunch, and it said a sandwich, blah 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 blah, served with or without gherkin.
Gherkin.
And then so my brother was like, "Excuse me, could you what is a gherkin?
A pickle."
It's a pickle. Okay, great. All right. Well, yeah, you can put the gherkin on there. And why don't you just call it a pickle?
You know, the food there was really terrible when I was there.
They're not known for their cuisine.
I think now, just like everywhere, you know, people are, you know, you've got better chefs everywhere in major cities. But
sure.
When I went there, I ordered lasagna and it came in like this. I could see it. And it was almost like it was inside of soup. Like, it was just this brothy thing on the bottom. It had cucumbers in it. I'm like, what is this? Mm. It's the weirdest stuff. Just always stick to the fish and chips.
Yeah. I loved being in London.
I did, too.
It was great.
So fun.
I really love all of their international chefs that they have there. They rely a lot on going to have a curry, as they call it.
Oh,
you know, they love all of their little shish kebab shops, and it's very diverse.
Here's something for curry.
We have a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You ever like make something green curry at home, but it doesn't really have the same je ne sais quoi as when you get it at a good Thai restaurant? We had someone making a green curry dish, tofu, of all things, the other day, Robin Asbell, who comes on Twin Cities Live a lot. And she showed us these, they're called lime leaves. You have to get them generally like at a specialty store, lime leaf. But when you smell the lime leaf, which I did immediately, it reminded me of the green curry that I rave about from Na's Thai Cafe in Chanhassen.
Oh,
the best green curry I've ever had. But lime leaf, we're not cooking with it at home when we make these curries, and we should be. Smell it, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You can get lime leaf at United Noodle.
Things that make you go, hmm. Today is International Noodle Day, by the way.
Oh,
I bet your bottom dollar.
Hey, when we come back, Dawn, I have a gift idea for Mr. Man.
Okay, great.
And I want to share it with you and everyone else who is a fan of Squid Game. Coming up next. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. We got to talk Squid Game. Do I need to start watching this again?
Well, here's the thing. I started watching it. DJ Rock Lobster started watching it. You watched an episode. Were, as you should be, deeply disturbed by what we saw.
Yeah.
The violence. I haven't finished. I'm only like at the beginning of episode 5. The violence at the beginning of the first episode, or midway through the first episode, is very jarring. It is a lot. So I understand why you responded. Yeah.
Like it starts off like slow and steady. Doop de doop de doo doop de doo. Okay, I'll play this game. And then that's how like the episode ends, is with this game that is just
a lot of people get eliminated in very dramatic fashion from red light, green light. And it's a lot to take in. It's very Tarantino in its glorification of violence.
Yes. And it feels like it's got like that dystopian kind of thing to it. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit of The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is incredibly disturbing. Maybe I just don't have any more room for that type of storytelling or programming. But I hate to keep using the word like perverse, but there's something about it that makes me feel like the people who are in charge of these games are getting some kind of thrill out of seeing people being eliminated. And then to tie it into like this innocence of children's games.
Mm-hmm.
And that giant lady doll in the first episode.
The red light, green light doll.
There's something about it that
red
just
light.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's creepy.
And then
it's creepy. I keep describing it in two words, which is disturbing, compelling. And I generally don't watch this kind of stuff, but it's intriguing. And by now that I'm like 5 episodes in, I do want to see how the story ends. I will say though, you know, from one episode to another, when you think you're sort of desensitized to the glorification of violence.
Yeah.
When they introduce another sort of violence, you're like, oh, good Lord, that seems aggressive.
Oh, no. I see. Yeah. I can't.
And then there's, you know, Dawn, how far into Squid Game are you now?
I'm halfway through the 6th episode.
Okay.
And I cannot wait to watch all of it. I love it. Because, not because of the violence. I always think about, wow, this is going to be tough for some people to see this. It's just, it makes me think. It's like a morality tale.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like just about society and just how we treat people. And I think it's resonating with people right now because of the state of the world.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real difference between the upper class and then the lower class, and who are you going to help when it's on the line? Like, are you going to sit to save your life? What choice are you going to make? And that's what's interesting to me. So I try to focus on that.
Well, there's something peculiar too that happens in the 3rd episode, mm-hmm. maybe, where you think everyone is just going to be at the mercy of the games. And then you realize one thing happens that unleashes a new constant threat.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, well, this is a problem.
Yes. I mean, and then the third game, I hate to talk in code like this. I just don't want to ruin it for anyone. But that game, I was on the airplane watching that, and I was like moving in my seat. I couldn't stop. I was so nervous, and I was really, really just absolutely.
It ratchets up the tension, man.
I mean, I've never. Wow.
Wow.
I could not passively sit there. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Oh, my God. Dawn, did you happen to hear us talking about that TikTok user who is fluent in Korean?
No.
So there's, I put a link in there for you. We talked about this yesterday at 11 o'clock, and she is Korean or speaks Korean. She's American, but speaks Korean.
Sure.
And
okay,
she,
I see this.
She is so mad at the translation because she's like, you're not watching the same story that someone who speaks Korean is watching because they're screwing up things like there's one character. What's the girl's name, Steve? She's kind of a gangster.
She's the one who develops somewhat of a romance for the bad boy, Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, apparently she's got some dialogue that's very important, but it's being botched.
I see, okay.
Because the translators are underpaid and overworked, and producers don't appreciate their art, so they don't care. So if she's saying, what are you looking at? It is being translated to go away.
Yeah, but I think that I heard her argument, and I'm sure there's validity to it.
Sure.
I think what it means is there's probably one other layer of richness and depth with historical context baked into some of the written dialogue in Korean that we are missing out on.
Right.
But as I said yesterday, the gunshot is universally translated. And that is, you understand the main thematic thing that's happening. Even though I listened to it with an English dub with subtitles on, and the English dub does not match the translation. Yeah, and it's like, kind of. So we keep watching. We're like, yeah, that's kind of, oh, boy, yet again, not the same, but sort of the same meaning. But I feel like you still are going to get shaken to your core no matter.
Okay. All right. Well, there is some really fun Squid Game merchandise. Because, listen, this is going to become the most popular show on Netflix ever. It's going to surpass
Queen's Gambit?
Do they really think this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or was that on HBO
I don't think
Max,
Queen's so. Gambit was on Netflix, but Stranger Things.
Oh.
Wow.
Bridgerton.
Oh.
So this is probably because of the international appeal for this. But anyway, so there's some new merch, and you can customize some of it.
Yes.
Steve will get this linked up on the show links page for you. I need you guys to explain a few of these to me.
Okay.
Okay, 456, that must be the guy's number.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
The main character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then there, are you seeing any
He's
of this
the
stuff?
Last guy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a little house that looks like a cassette tape underneath it. Or a triangle, a circle, then there's all these, like, figures.
Well, the shapes mean something, and, like, the shapes on these masks, too. I wonder if we're going to see this at Halloween. People doing Squid Game costumes.
Are you kidding me? Totally thought that.
You know, like, there's this mask, and the mask, depending on the shape that the mask has, it refers to your where you are in the hierarchy
the rank.
Of the game.
It's a circle,
managers.
A triangle, and a square.
Yeah.
I see. Got it. And then that square represents the arena, probably, and people on each side. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, they have to play tug of war?
Oh, boy. That game is... No.
That's the one that I watched on the airplane.
Okay.
That's why I was moving in my seat, and I could not...
Oh, no.
Tug of War was...
You saw that
but
one?
But I also was so thrilled and then disturbed by my... Because I wanted that team to win.
Yes.
And I was so like... The fact that they figured out a way to do this
mm-hmm.
or, you know...
makes you totally change your strategy for the next family reunion that you play tug of war at.
I was thrilled. I like an underdog story.
Yeah, you're thrilled, but then you realize
what the consequences are. Exactly. So then I felt bad, and then I was like, "Oh my god, I can't wait to watch another episode."
Yeah. Oh my gosh! So the people,
you got to get back in, Donna.
The people in the red jumpsuits.
Yes.
Are those players or bad guys?
Those are quasi bad guys. Those are game managers. So there's a game leader, this boss, this masked man, who we haven't seen his identity behind all of this, it seems. And then he's got these minions, these guys in red, who are the enforcers of game rules. And they manage all of the players. But then at some point you do find out that they are just people inside of these really intimidating, interesting, opaque costumes that they're wearing, which just ratchets up the intrigue. But then you realize, oh, it's just them. But boy, they put the mask on and you're like, there's this intimidation about them. And then anytime they come out, the music, dun, 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 they have this, the score for Squid Game.
Yeah, so good.
Is so twistedly understated.
Okay. And when they start that game, they always play the Blue Danube song.
Yes. Yes. What's the, in fact, during Red Light, Green Light, which we all saw, the first episode of Squid Game, they play, there's some old standard from the American Songbook that is in the background.
Oh, really?
As a bunch of players are getting eliminated. It's interesting. They're doing something with us, right? They just keep messing with you. Instead of like ratcheting up intense, scary music that makes you feel more frightened.
Right, right.
They're doing
like
it's just
whimsical
really
music. Yeah, it's so bizarre. But anyway, check out the merchandise. It is pretty cool.
It's sold on Netflix, right?
Yep. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's, let me just see. Oh, yeah, it's on Netflix.shop. I help people.
Yeah, we got it linked up to. You can go to Don and Steve's show links page and check it out there.
I just wish that it was the old days of the internet where you got into chat rooms and discussed things instead of just looked at pictures on Instagram.
Right.
Social media has kind of ruined the internet, to, like, okay, I'm going to now do, I'm an influencer and now I'm going to wear a Squid Game costume instead of talking about what it means.
Hey, good thing there's still radio.
Right?
Yeah.
We are the best.
By the way, this kind of
I thought we were
going
to chant.
Me too. I was clapping. Yeah.
This kind of also has a Hunger Games feel to it. Hunger Games, Handmaid's Tale.
It's like if Hunger Games did drugs for a while. Because it's like a different... Hunger Games felt PG-13. It was
PG-13. Yeah, yeah.
This is a hard R.
Okay.
Earns its ratings. I mean, we heard a kid coming down last week when we were watching Squid Game.
Yeah,
I mean, I all but ripped the plasma off of the wall.
Yeah.
I thought I'm gonna have to rip that sucker down.
I would nobody, don't let a 13-year-old watch it. Don't let, honestly, because people are kind of loose with that sometimes.
Yes. I think that's good advice.
Not even I don't even know if a 16-year-old, like seriously 18.
This
plus.
Feels like it earns the R, under 17, not permitted.
Got it. Squid Game is on Netflix, by the way. We got to go.
When we come back, Katie Couric, not going to be on the CBS Morning Show, but she did find a place to promote her new book. She's going back home. And Kanye just did something. And it seems like a joke at first until you hear the second part of the story. We'll explain. See something, say something next on Don and Steve.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Appreciate you guys listening to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Producer Don McLean hanging with us too.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Don.
And we saw something that we should say something about. So
hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Oh, boy. We're going to be hearing Katie Couric's name for a while.
All right. We're reading this book, I guess.
Yeah, we're reading this.
Not as a book club. Not
just
as a read-along.
Just on our free time. Okay.
Just loosey-goosey.
Okay. When's it come out? Let's find October 19th?
No, I think 25th, 26th. I think we got a ways. We'll forget about it by then.
Yeah.
Does it really come out in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's promote. I feel like we're getting excerpts early.
Yeah. And we have to remember they're just excerpts, but
Durop.
Katie Couric is going to be promoting her memoir on the Today Show.
Oh.
Despite the fact that she slammed a number of her former co-stars and producers. So she co-anchored the Today Show for 15 years.
With Gumby.
Alongside Matt Lauer.
Well, she was with Brian Gumbel at the beginning, too.
You're right.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
This appearance is going to come after we talked about this yesterday, how CBS scrapped her appearance because some of the producers got an advanced copy of the book, read it, and were like, oh, hey, you'll know. So she's going to join Savannah and Hoda in Studio 1A. That's where she sat in the hot seat from 91 to 2006. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Because, you know, she has just... The excerpts that we've been hearing about are like, she launched an attack on Diane Sawyer. She admitted to sabotaging Ashley Banfield at NBC. She slammed Deborah Norville, who she replaced on the Today Show.
So she's admitting, since I've been gone for a little bit here, she's admitting that she did unsavory things. Wow, that's very brave.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. But then she's also getting criticized because she kind of goes soft on Matt Lauer, admitting that she's heard whispers about his behavior, but doesn't really say much else.
Okay.
According to, you know, these articles, Page Six. And, I got to read this because if she's real, if this isn't going to be like some puff piece, you know, like some just fluffy, if she's really going deep.
Sounds like she is.
I want to hear it. Yeah, she goes after Jeff Zucker, who is the executive producer of Today.
I have and she talks about how the Today Show just got soft and the, like, that's another thing she says is it was like every day at 7:35, there was another Lacey Peterson story where
there was no new development.
No, but they just did it because it rated.
Right.
Can't wait for the Katie Couric tell-all to come out end of this month, here's another book that you might read in the meantime that was pretty dang good. Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. This is by Brian Stelter. I really like this because it documents the debacle that was the Ann Curry experiment on the Today Show. And if you remember that short-lived tenure that she had there and the awkward goodbye with Matt Lauer.
Yes.
And the Today Show had been on top of the ratings for so long, then GMA was coming up. I found that to be a really interesting book. So again, that book, if you're just a TV nerd, Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. You could get that on Amazon today.
Wiki. What was said about Ann Curry? I've always liked her, and I feel like she was a very dignified lady. And then to see how he treated her, and I loved the way she like pulled away when he went to hug her.
Yeah.
She was like, get off me, you creep. Loved it. Do you remember? Was anything of note?
I just remember them talking about the awkward fit of it all and then the pressure of this just isn't working. And then how do you get rid of somebody after you just started somebody and you laud them as like, and here's who we found. Mm. And then very early on, you realize Ann Curry was not, I think some of the common critique was she was not showing the warmth that is needed, the diversity in tone that is needed on a morning show where you will both talk about the hardest news that happened overnight and you will cook.
Right.
In the same show.
Right.
And so
you'll fly in a Peter Pan costume.
Yes. It's all going to be there. But I don't know. I've read it 8 years ago.
Oh, okay. Really?
Get out of my face.
Okay. Oh.
Get out of my face.
I ran into someone at the dog park the other day and she goes, are you okay with Steve talking to you like that?
What?
Who'd you run into? Who's my new enemy?
No, Betty, she likes you. She just wanted to make sure I was okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, boy, if they only knew the mistreatment that happens here, that when the mics are off, you would say Donna's sexist, right, Dawn?
Don't put me in the middle of this.
Oh, you're funny, Steve.
Here's another. Okay. You can find both of these. I'll put both of these links up if you want to check them out. Kanye West opened something called the Donda Academy.
What happens there?
His mother's name is Donda. What?
Mm-hmm. He put it up. It's called the Donda Academy.
Okay.
And it's apparently a school. And they just secured one of the 5-star basketball recruits to go to the Donda Academy.
Oh, wow.
That's a tweet. I'm leaving it out there for people. If you want to go look at the tweet and decipher it yourself, you can. Kanye West, the latest and greatest, is like, I should open a school. So he's opening a school. Also, just saw this. Joaquin Phoenix has a new haircut.
That is hideous.
Page Six is trying to figure
out.
I don't know what. Click on the link, Donna, and tell everybody what you see.
It's like he fell asleep at a party and his friends shaved the middle
of
his head.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Where is the linky link link?
Is Linky in there? Hang on, let me get out of there.
I see the Kanye linky. Oh,
yeah. Here we go.
All right, I will see if I could describe this to our listeners. And
what do you think of that?
Oh, no. Why?
Well, I mean, doesn't it look like he fell asleep at a party and his friends shaved the top of his head all the way to...
Maybe he's doing a movie role or something.
It's got to be, right? Page Six is trying to figure it out. We liked Joaquin Phoenix when we saw his 60 Minutes interview with Anderson Cooper.
He's lovely. Really sweet. Down to earth.
But he rocked this. So he's no hair on top, hair around the side, like any tenured professor. And he was at the New York Film Festival and showed up like that. Now Joaquin Phoenix has a really nice head of hair when his hair is fully
grown
out.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really nice. So they're trying to figure out, is this a movie?
Yes, What's going on here called Come On, Come On. It's a black and white movie. And it's about a radio journalist named Johnny who embarks on a cross-country trip with his young nephew. He's got a sister in this. November 19th.
Wow.
Oh, it's another movie that... Wait, that's responsible for the cut. Disappointment Boulevard. There you go.
That's the name of the cut. If you go to a barber, say, I want the Disappointment Boulevard, and that's what you get.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Dawn, have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you. DJ Rock Lobster's coming in with a Dirt Alert, and then we'll have some music news to share with you up next.